Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Two very special people, our guest, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, L.A. Marzulli, lamarzulli.net. First time on international radio, Global Star Radio Network, BTR, and YouTube Live. Before we get back to them very quickly, Greenovative, they've done it again. Folks, you know Greenovative? Greenovative.com, the producers of the Super G-Mag power battery charger. Well, guess what? I had to twist Alan Riggs' arm, but they're going to make, well, they're making right now another special good deal for you folks, our listeners. You got to admit this. This is great. For Valentine's Day, 14% off for the month of February. That's 14% off for the month of February. That gives you more batteries and adapters at a reduced price. You got to use the coupon code Hagman. You know what they make. They make battery chargers that run off of salt and water. That's greenovative.com. Enter the coupon code Hagman. Greenovative.com. Enter the coupon code Hagman. And, of course, go to stevequayle.com, click on the link to his video section. We're going to be linking to it as well. I put it in our communicator message flash out. But anyway, having said that, and also lamarzulli.net, both fine gentlemen. Steve, I'm going to kick it to you, and then you can kick it back and forth. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, and I am going to share something. I won't give out the dates and details, but L.A., myself, Tom Horn, Dr. Michael Lake, Timothy Alberino, and Anselm P. Rambla will be at a specific event that we're going to sponsor. It's going to be different than any conference, any seminar undertaken. It's in order to impart everything that L.A. is going to, and each speaker is going to have 3 hours, okay, Doug? We've only got six speakers, but I'll be announcing that on Hagman and Hagman, but I'll also be announcing it on my YouTube channel. Obviously, LA will be on his website. We're excited about this because, again, it's not just speculation. LA, how long have you been at this? I just want to share your time and my time together. I mean, we're talking a lot of decades.
You know, you're right. I mean, if I really want to go back to when I started it, you know, I was reading Secrets of the Great Pyramid around 16 to 18 years old. So that's like 1966. And I know it's like I wasn't like doing it full time, but I was like drawn to this stuff. And I wasn't even a Christian then. So if it goes back, I mean, serious for me from like 1990, that's when it became like, okay, now I'm about to write a book. But I've been writing this, looking at this stuff and was fascinated. Even I remember reading Secrets of the Great Pyramid, Peter Tompkins, as a kid, I think it was like 17 or 18, and just going, oh my gosh, there's no way anybody built this thing. And I've always wanted to go there, and I haven't been. That's on the bucket list. With the Middle East the way it is, who knows? But, you know, decades, you're right.
Well, again, you know, and I've been at this for realistically 40 years, you know, and it's a real deal. Now, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to start upgrading my YouTube channel. I used to say, LA, I wouldn't have one, but then I had to because I thought there were only, you know, 145 people pretty much impersonating me until I started to go out and have my legal team, police it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to subscribe to my YouTube channel, my official YouTube channel. You go up on my website, stevequayle.com, and click on Steve's official YouTube channel because that's the only one that's real and it's mine. Because there's going to come a time, and I'm not set up yet, to do telephone stuff and alerts and everything, but the alerts, I can go to my TV studio place, and that's where our Skype is set up because we have fast enough internet connections to do it. So again, please subscribe to my YouTube channel because this stuff is breaking so fast. And LA, my guess is you'll be forced to, when I say forced, you will have to do this because so much stuff will break. And everyone who has listened to you for the time you've been at it, listen to me for the time I've been at it, that's watched the Alberino analysis, that's read Tom Horn's books, that basically have read Dr. Michael Lake's book, and who have been following our mutual DVDs and presentations, all of you who get it should not be taken by surprise. And God is warning you for a purpose. You know, I had one really snickering, cackling, I would call cacophonous entity from hell say, this is all irrelevant because I feel it. It's irrelevant. Well, I'll tell you what, then, lady, you don't know your Bible, and it was a woman, and lady, you don't understand history, and just because three people who dislike me or dislike whoever is the person talking, that doesn't make 40 years worth of research footnoted with thousands of footnotes, maybe 10,000 footnotes. Somebody took me to task on that. I went and added up all my footnotes, and it was right about that, you know, 11 different books. So the thing is that we're now in the point where everything that LA has been putting out, everything that myself, Timothy Alberino, have been putting out, our joint ventures, Tom Horn. And by the way, LA, when we were in the desert southwest, which will be in the third installment of True Legends of Series, there were giants, in meeting with the top Native American, highest ranking, if you will, mutual respected, if you will, seers in the entire Pueblo Nation, he was talking about them being able to open portals, and that the giants will come through and tell them that they're getting ready to come forth. Now, I don't know what's holding them back at this point, and there are many portals that are opening, and just like the Satyrs and the Centaurs that you just talked about, everything that you and I are talking about is now being experienced in real time someplace in the world. And when we were in the desert southwest, they even talked about a society of initiates, I guess, or people initiated at a certain point in their development in the Native American culture and ways, that they have a giant, if you will. This is no kidding. They would call it a giant society. And we talked to a couple of really, really highly respective elders, you know, in the Pueblo Indians. And the thing is you can't separate what you just said about the Satyrs is exactly what they're describing also. And ladies and gentlemen, that'll be appearing in the third episode of True Legends. And again, I want to share this because we've only got this hour. For those of you that want to go on the Cusco trip and be with, you know, L.A. Marzulli, Timothy Alberino, myself, and Anselm, you need to go to TrueLegendsTheSeries.com and let us know that you want to go. You'll have to send 50% because, look, we have to secure all the hotel rooms, the transportation, the in-country flights. That's paid for, but you're getting to Cusco is on your own. We'll all meet up in Lima and then take an in-country flight, and then we will give an absolute, I guess you'd say, and L.A., you've been there before, so wouldn't you say what we're going to do collectively is going to be amazing?
Absolutely. Steve, it's just for those of you who have never been or look at the pictures, it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. I mean, it really is. It's absolutely astounding to go to these places and look at them. And it's funny, if you're going to be with us, so we're going to be telling you what we think it is. Obviously, this is fallen angel technology from our point of view. But when you actually overhear what the status quo is, what the archaeologists and what the party line is in Peru, it's all Inca. And we're looking at this going, no, it's not. Inca couldn't make this if their life depended on it. In fact, we've got, and this is the work of Brian Forrester, hats off to you, Brian. Brian had a book, one of the conquistadors, a priest apparently wrote this down, and basically it was stating that when the conquistadors got to Cusco, they asked the Inca, who built Sacsayhuaman? And the Inca said it was here. The giants built it. We didn't build it. The giants built it. But see, the moment you go there, it's like, whoa, that verifies the biblical prophetic narrative. And that's what's at stake here, really, that there is a hidden history in the world, that something did happen on this planet in the far distant past. The Bible speaks of it over and over and over again. The Bible warns us it'll be like the days of Noah. But mainstream archaeology, because of the Darwinian paradigm, which is sacrosanct in both academia and the scientific community, that's it. They never, ever, ever talk about this stuff. And if they do, if by some chance someone discovers an artifact that's out of place, like I did at Catalina Island with the 9-footer that we discovered that was vetted by 3 different people, one photograph showing Ralph Gooden, who was a primitive archaeologist, 1919 and 1921, standing in a very recently excavated grave, and in front of him in situ, not a disarticulated bone pile, is the bones of a 9-footer, which is what he said. It was in the LA Times. It's there. So it's one of two things. If it was a hoax, why didn't Glidden ever do anything with it? He never did anything with it. There was, you know, that picture would never made it to the LA Times, but he talked about 9-footers. That picture I discovered in the archives of the Catalina Island Museum, stuffed away in a plastic sleeve, in a manila envelope, in a museum box, in a vault. That's where all this stuff was. And they allowed me to go in. I was there for 10 hours, poured over everything, and that became the basis of On the Trail of the Nephilim, Volume 2, and what we discovered was incredible. When we went back to the museum about 8 months later, and I was on the History Channel in the interim when my book got published, they had a show called In Search of the Lost Giants, and I was on because they wanted me to talk about this photograph. When we went back to Catalina, the photograph was up on the wall, blown up. In other words, all of a sudden they were very interested in it. Underneath the photograph was a hit piece on Ralph Gooden, just saying he was a little more than a grave robber, and he wasn't really an archaeologist. I mean, a hit piece on Ralph Gooden. Here's the rub. They took the photograph, they blew it up, and they redacted the giant skeleton that was in that photograph. It's no longer in that photograph. It's been cropped. It's been cropped out of the photograph. That is deliberate obfuscation. I found other photographs, 6 fingers, another 9-footer that was there. We found very elongated skulls. I mean, it's right there. You can look at it. That's not normal. 2 elongated skulls, one a female. The other one seems to be a child. We're not sure what happened to them. Obviously, you know, the bones were excavated by Ralph Gooden. What happened to them is anyone's guess. The High Museum, which Ralph Gooden was employed by, was basically swallowed up by the Smithsonian. And as the story goes, a lot of these bones were crated up, and there was a storm when the ship came, and they were loaded onto a ship, and the ship was supposed to be sailing, and the ship went down in the Channel Islands, in that very, very deep channel that separates where Catalina is from the mainland, about 26 miles away from the coast of California. So isn't that convenient? Bottom line, that's real evidence, real photographic evidence that something is there. And when you go to Sacsayhuaman, when you go to Ollantaytambo and other places, Pumapunku, Bolivia, I mean, it's screaming at you. There's a hidden history, and you'll want to go on this tour. And by the way, you know, Steve was talking about YouTube. Exactly. We've got, now we're up to like 45,000 YouTube subscribers. We just opened up the channel. It's about a little over a year old. 45,000 subscribers. We're delighted. L.A. Marzulli, visit Steve's channel, visit my channel. I update. Try to do an update every single day for my TV studio here. There's so much going on, so much to talk about. PPS Report is the website, but L.A. Marzulli on YouTube, and you can sign up. Just sign up and get the updates.
Well, I think that's critical, L.A., and I would encourage you, because, ladies and gentlemen, obviously, for the first time in history, I don't think people understand this. This is I know you get it, Doug, and I know that it's really becoming apparent to a lot of you, but when God takes A and B, puts it together, and causes it to be C, there's a limit of my algebra, the bottom line is that now we've got, hey, a composite picture that's forming. Listen, Tim Alberino, when he went, and this is amazing because, you know, I mean, thank God that, I mean, he lives and dreams of stuff like we do. I mean, he just, like, works 18 hours a day sometimes also. But everybody that is in our field, your partner, my partner, Tom Horn, you've appeared on Skywatch, we've appeared, God bless Bob Ulrich, Gary Stearman, we've appeared on a lot of stuff. But, you know, it's now, L.A., that people are starting to really get the importance of it. Let me share something that's interesting. in Sardinia, some people believe that's Atlantis. I'm not saying that James Cameron says that Santorini obviously is Atlantis. There are people that have placed Atlantis all over the world, but I'll tell you something interesting. I'm going to read this, an 1852 piece, okay? And it's called Works of the Giant Races, and it's astonishing because even the Jesuits, before they started covering up, were basically telling everybody these were the giants in Sarda. And Sarda is obviously where you get the word Sardinia. So I'm going to read this because it's really critical. In Sardinia, the history is that they have these towers, or circular towers, and they're called the Nuraghi Towers. And they have what's called a chamber of incubation. So it appears, and here's what happened, LA, and you're going to pick up on this quick, and we haven't talked about this until now, and this is going to go into our new True Legends, There Were Giants. There is no way to dismiss eyewitness testimony. There is no way to dismiss the detail that some of these people gave, and I think I said this the other day, when Tim and the film crew were in Sardinia at a temporary giant dig. The Vatican helicopter was overhead, and they actually got a shot of it, and basically watching every move they made. I know Tim and our cameraman and, you know, were staying, like, it was like Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's always somebody, my term, creepy in the corner, and bureaucrats on their cell phones watching them. But here's the interesting thing. I'm going to read this. The Chamber of Incubation. The giants were buried, and there are records, L.A., of the giants being buried north to south and east to west, stacked on each other like you'd stack firewood or a funeral pyre. And the Sardinians have interesting, if you will, ceremonies where they dress up like the Nuraghi, and it's identical to the Germani tribes that are, you know, throughout the country. By the way, the Germani, the actual Germani, from which you get the word Germany, and it doesn't come from Germanic, were a tribe of giants. And when you go on my website, you'll see the giants, you know, slaughtering the Romans in that one sculpture piece. And 35,000 Romans died in one day. But they would go into this chamber of incubation. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The giants in stasis, suspended animation, their brain waves are so active that even in stasis, the people, if you will, the Sardinians, the descendants, by the way, many of them believe they're the descendants of Atlantis. Interesting, huh? They would go into these incubation chambers, and they would basically sit or lay themselves down on the ground, the giants were underneath, and they would have, if you will, the equivalent of a vision quest, but it was telepathically inserted in their brain. Some people say, I don't believe that. Well, again, go back a few years, and I'm told by a general of the Red Line in Dulce, New Mexico, everyone remembers the alien wars in Dulce. If you don't, Dulce is spelled D-U-L-C-E, and by the way, we saw a strange phenomenon in the sky on a 12-hour time lapse. And it appeared that many of the airplanes were flying into the area of Dulce, New Mexico. But what was interesting, L.A., and everyone, you've heard parts of this, but you haven't heard it since we've been down in the desert southwest, because the desert southwest plays very predominantly in what we're talking about today, with the Native Americans, obviously the Egyptians' presence, through DNA traceable genomes, and traceable genomes, the Smithsonian cover-up. But what's fascinating is in Dulce, I had a general tell me that they had some live giants in titanium cages. I think he said that the bars were like 36 inches in diameter. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you think this is all BS, take it to the Lord in prayer, and I'll take you from here to the Himalayas. And he specifically said that some foreign scientists did not believe that they were not to step over the red line. When they did, and I believe he said, and I could be wrong by one or two, but he said a dozen of these guys literally, and here's what he said, the telepathic powers of them literally took them apart. And I think one of the giants escaped, and what didn't put them out, you know, physically, or let's just say this, through brainwave assault, they literally got torn to pieces. Now, fast forward to the Himalayas and Dr. Moldashev, one of the most famous Russian optic surgeons in the world. And he's been looking, obviously, all over the world for the third eye, or the Cyclops. We can get to that maybe in another show, and all the Greek mythology, the difference between the Olympians and the Titans obviously being the first generation of fallen angels, the Olympians being the second. But the fact that is so astonishing to me is that you listen to Dr. Moldashev's statement and the monks that took him into a cave high up in the Himalayas, and they told him, do not go past this line. Now, he's a doctor, because they said your head would explode. He said the minute he even got close, because obviously, you know what he's thinking? He's thinking, I'm a doctor, I'm going to check this out. He said the most incredible pain in the world, and here's a medical doctor saying this happened to him. So what's important is, and I think people need to understand this, that when we're talking about Sardinia and we're talking about the Nuraghi, and we're talking to, that's both the people, the culture is very interesting, because all of these ceremonies center around giants. And if you look at Sardinia, with the aerial cameras we got and all the stuff we've got of that, whenever you see giant mounds that are pyramidal shaped, it's almost like at some point in history, people decided to make sure that the evidence was covered up, not just the Smithsonian. So let me see. I want to read this about Sardinia, because this blew my mind. Tim found this in some obscure thing, and I believe that God has led your team, L.A. Marzulli, to those specific points in time. He's led us to the specific points in time when Tom Horn was in the desert southwest talking to Dr. Mose and talking, at the Mount Graham telescope, the Lucifer telescope. We're all at the place we are to be in time and space. Now listen to this, and I'm going to translate the Latin into English. Not that I read it, but in this one it's easy. The sepulchre are peculiar to the island of Sardinia, being entirely different in point of size and character from any other sepulchre remains. Judging from the many remains of those partially destroyed, their numbers must have been considerable. It's claimed there are 30,000 of these towers, okay? The Sards, or the Sardinians, believe them to be veritable tombs of giants, and that there may be legends of their existence, the island, and is undeniable, as a similar belief is found almost in all countries. And that's true. And it's fascinating to me. Now listen to this. In speaking of the Nuraghi and the sepulchre, they observe that if a Canaanitis race, now this is interesting, and they're talking about Canaanites, and the Canaanites were obviously giants, they came to this island, and they practiced cannibalism too. As a matter of fact, the footage, LA, that we've got in Sardinia of a ceremony of cannibalism, it appears to be a ceremony of cannibalism, and I can't even talk on this show because obviously I don't know who's listening. I don't mean spooks and paid trolls, but there may be children, but the appetites of the giants and their human consorts, meaning those that waited on them hand and foot, are so hideous, so wretched. You know what you think? You think, I know this is going to sound strange to people, but you're reading WikiLeaks on Pedigate. I am not kidding when I talk about that, okay? And I can't go any deeper. I'm going to read this poem, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. This is by Randy Conway, and I love this stuff because it's really critical. This guy's an anointed, in my opinion, poet. Those of you who have read his stuff in my Dreams and Visions, but I'll read this. As it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, the watchers are not far. As it was in the days of Noah, not every light is star. As it was in the days of Noah, the principalities reign. As it was in the days of Noah, the seed of man is stained. As it was in the days of Noah, the Nephilim influence can still be seen. As it was in the day of Noah, prophets are scoffed at as men with fantastic dreams. As as it was the days of Noah, a day of the Lord is coming soon, as it was the days of Noah, what ancient terror seek man's doom? As it was in the days of Noah, do we know the truth from a lie? As it was in the days of Noah, how many men will die? Go ahead, L.A. That's from Randy Conway. And again, we are telling people we are in the days of Noah, and it's more than there is just violence in the earth. Go ahead, sir.
You know, it's absolutely incredible the window of time that we find ourselves in. And, you know, you said something a little earlier, Steve. I just want to kind of tag team onto that if I can. You talked about Tom Horn and Gary Stearman and, you know, Timothy Alberino, your research, my research. There definitely seems to be things are converging. God's brought us together. I mean, it's the first time you and I have ever done a show like this, and it's on Hagman & Hagman. I mean, it's a real honor to be doing this. And what's fantastic is we're teaming up to try to bring this information any way we can, you know, to the people. I mean, that's really what it's about. You know, when you mentioned your series, I've got a new series I'm starting called The Watchmen Chronicles, the first. A slight departure from the idea of a Nephilim, but it's all linked back to the same thing. It's on the UFO phenomenon. I know you've written about that, Steve, extensively. And it's called In Their Own Words, and I've gone around the United States. And everybody in the film is a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Guess what? They've had encounters. Most of them, close encounters of the first kind. But we've got people that have had close encounters of the third and fourth kind. And that is chilling. And how they broke it by calling upon the name of Jesus. They became born-again and spirit-filled, and their abduction stopped. We also, and this is a first, I'm telling you on Hagman, I haven't said it to anybody else, but it's in the film. There was a man who was OSS. World War II OSS, he was in his 90s, he's died a while back, okay? And this couple was taking care of him. And this guy basically, it was a deathbed confession, he died a month after he told them. And, you know, they knew this man, his name was Colonel Hill, they knew him for about 2 years. They got very friendly with him. And the reason why they got to know him, because they would visit him, and they were involved in reducing his estate, selling off different parts of the estate. That's what this woman does. And it's a husband and wife team. They come on the record. They look right at the camera. And by the way, they're pastors. And they go, what you're about to hear is true. You know, the testimony that we're giving you is true. That's what they look right at the camera and say that. And there's zero negative body language. They're telling us the truth. And towards the end of this man's life, Colonel Hill, Carolyn asked him, what about Roswell? Just kind of blurted it out one day. Because they knew that this guy was OSS. They knew he had a top security clearance. They knew he was a professional interrogator. He had 4 degrees, sociology, psychiatry, and 2 others, which I don't remember offhand. And they asked him, what about Roswell? I've never stated this before. It's in the film, In Their Own Words. You can go to thewatchmanchronicles.com or L.A. Marzulli. We're doing a pre-sale. Shameless plug. Please forgive me. But that's what keeps the wheels going, folks. Anyway, to get back to the story, this is what happened. Colonel Hill, you know, kind of bowed his head down, let out a deep sigh, picked his head up, and looked at them and said, it's all true. It wasn't a weather balloon. It's all true. And then he proceeded to tell them the story. He was in Dallas-Fort Worth, and right after the crash, he was called in to Roswell, because this guy is OSS, high security clearance. He's a professional interrogator. That's what this guy does. He told the witnesses that when he got there, there were 2 bodies that he saw. One was deceased. The other one was still alive, and they were feverishly trying to revive it, keep it alive. He tried communicating with it, but apparently that didn't work. They asked him, Carolyn, the witnesses asked him, what differentiated, what did it look like? It was a small being under 5 feet. It had like a gray jumpsuit and, you know, very large head, the black eyes, the whole deal. But what astounded them and astounded Colonel Hill, it had 6 fingers. The being had 6 fingers. And all this, of course, you know, this is like, they've never come on the record and told anyone. So it's an exclusive in the movie, In Their Own Words, The Watchmen Chronicles. And look, folks, something happened at Roswell. There's no doubt about it. And I think we're at the cusp. And the reason why I say this is because Ancient Alien, Steve Greer, the whole, you know, New Age, UFO people, Alien Con, all those, they're waiting expectantly. They think disclosure is going to happen soon. Folks, you got to understand that if the church is still here and the United States government, President Trump or whoever announces, or the Russians or the Chinese, someone announces that the UFO phenomena is real, or there's a craft that just shows up over some major city and doesn't go away. That's the game changer. That's the game changer. And everything that we're doing converges. The Nephilim, the whole UFO phenomena, what's going on in Antarctica, it all goes back to one source, and that is the fallen ones. The biblical prophetic narrative states it the best, and that's why we're all talking about this stuff, waving our hands as frantically as we can to try to wake up the body of Christ.
Amen. Go ahead, Steve. By the way, folks, we blew through the break. Our sponsors, I want to thank our sponsors for taking the hit, allowing us to take the hit. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, do you want to take the break now?
No.
Because,
no.
You know, okay.
No, this is too important.
Okay, well, I got to share this, okay? And I know people are responding to you. They respond to me going, wow, wow, wow. And L.A. did a beautiful job in saying how it all ties together. What they're going to say in Antarctica, this is what I have been told. This is what I've been told for years. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't been down there. But when you talk about alien incubation, when you talk about advanced civilizations, when you talk about how the Admiral Byrd's diaries and Forrestal, the first Secretary of Defense, being basically assassinated by being thrown out a window at Bethesda, you know, hospital, when he wanted to come clean with the people, tell them what's really going on. All of this has been kept under. Here's the thing, LA, I know you get it, I get it, every single day. Well, if you guys were really telling the truth, why is there that there's not enough evidence? It's really simple. Going back to the words of George Orwell, he who controls the past determines the future, or controls the future. Because people have been inundated with total, I would call this, mind rape through the mainstream media, telepresence programming through the, devil vision, and all the different electromagnetic waveforms going on, all the different electromagnetic weapons, all the electromagnetic and different forms of energy used to control weather modification, geoengineering. I'm amazed, and it testifies to the majesty of the living God that any of us can still think. And that brings me that famous statement in history. I think it was either Goering or Goebbels who said, thank God that people don't think, or we couldn't, I'm paraphrasing this, or we couldn't get away with what we're getting away with. It goes right into the Rockefeller statement when he said, we'd like to thank the mainstream media, if you will, or the press of the world, for keeping our existence hidden until the time to reveal had come. That's a paraphrase. So now what we're telling you, ladies and gentlemen, and by the way, I could not say it better. L.A., you've gone on some of those shows, but continually, I'm sure you're asked, come on this, come on that, but they always want to take what you say to take away from the Word of God and the Bible to underscore what they say. Have you found that out too?
Well, yeah, they're always twisted. I mean, when I was on the History Channel, I was on season one and season two of Ancient Aliens. And look, I mean, you know, it's their production company, it's their nickel, I get it. But when you blatantly take statements and you redirect them so they don't jive with the worldview of the person that you're interviewing, I mean, that's what the media does, our mainstream media does. They twist everything and they spin it and they don't tell the truth. And I took umbrage with that, quite frankly, and that's the impetus of, that's why we started the Watchers series. And, you know, we've done basically 10.2, 11 DVDs in the Watchers series, and you can go to my website and check that out. And it's everything from the Shroud of Turin, the Torah codes, to what you see down in Peru, to UFOs and everything in between. We've been all over the map with all that stuff. And, you know, we had a really good run with Watchers, but I've moved on to Watchmen Chronicles, and that's where I'm really focusing my energies. And, of course, my daily updates, almost, I'm trying to make them daily updates, 5 days a week. PPS report, again, on the YouTube channel. Today, we had a woman that sent me this Close Encounters of the First Kind, Light in the Sky, is jumping around like crazy. I've seen this. I can't count how many times I've seen this. But it's anomalous, and that's why we went with it. And she gave me permission to post it. It's up on the YouTube channel, L.A. Marzulli. It's the latest one. And look, folks, I mean, there it is. Something is going on. UFOs appear all around, all over this planet, and they do so with impunity. It's time to start talking about it. It's time not to be afraid, but to start talking about it and open up a dialogue. Because I believe, and I know Steve will back me up on this, and if Tom Warren was here, he would too, that the words of Jesus warn us will be like the days of Noah. And then we read in 2 Thessalonians that Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. What are we to make of that? Is that just something, well, you know, it's just a little magic show, I don't have to worry about that. Nonsense. All signs and lying wonders. Folks, if the church is, look, we're already seeing stuff. We're already seeing stuff. So it's not a question of, you know, when it's going to happen or, you know, it's already happening for crying out loud. I mean, it's all around us. Wake up, do some research. We've got lots of stuff. Steve's got lots of stuff. Tom Horn's got lots of stuff. And that's why we do it. You know, it's not a ministry for everybody, but we do it to educate the body of Christ. And that's the reason. Point people to Jesus.
Well, I want to read Isaiah 13 in the Septuagint, and many thanks again to Tom Horn, because he's the one that brought this to my attention. And by the way, Tom's got a series of books that everybody must get. It's his ancient book series, where he's got the Book of Enoch, he's got the Septuagint. Yeah. I mean, he's got some neat stuff. But here's what it says in Isaiah 13 in the Septuagint, okay? The vision which Isaiah, son of Amos, saw against Babylon. Lift up a standard on the mountains of the plain. Exalt the voice to them. Beckon with the hand. Open the gates, ye rulers. Hey, L.A., you and I and Tom and Timothy Alberino have been talking about the gates when he was in Peru and when he was in Bolivia and when he was all over South America. Yep. Yep. The gates are, you cannot get away from the desert southwest, the spirals, the gates, the gates, the gates. Now, listen to this. Here is the number three verse. I give command, God speaking. I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath, rejoicing at the same time and insulting. In other words, you know, my guess is they'll be quoting, we're back as a destroyer. Now, why would God, now here's a question that I'm going to get, you know, I'm sure. Why would a loving God do this? Because when he's talking about this time, all of hell will have basically formed their battle plans against God. You know, and I believe this. Everybody's wondering what the Vatican telescope is looking at and looking for. Well, it's not just the return of, you know, the ancient ones or the fallen angels. They already know about those guys. They're already meeting with Lucifer himself, you know, in the 13th seat. Obviously, that kind of information got Malachi Martin murdered, okay? Murdered. But now you've got, if you will, a change and a war in the Roman Catholic Church between traditional Catholics and the Nouveau Catholics, where we're hearing that you can baptize aliens and you can do all this crazy stuff, but don't speak the name of Jesus. So it, when Tom brought up Isaiah 13, and then he started to tie it in with this statement when he was on Mount Graham. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. These are the top exobiologists. An exobiologist deals with alien life forms. These are the top who's who in astronomers. Astronomers from around the world come to see what they see in their infrared telescope with the acronym Lucifer. And when they turn to Tom Horn and say, sometimes we've got to wait for an hour for the fields to clear because there are so many UFOs. In the last, L.A., in the last week, NASA's killed multiple feeds of things around the space station. Again, what's going to happen, I want to share something with everyone at this point. Watch Mars now. I said this about Antarctica a year ago in 2000, what would have been December, it would have been 2015 going into 2016 in my book, obviously, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II. If you understand Operation High Jump and we got our let's just say this, our battleships beaten and Russians had film of, you know, the flying saucers, etc., taken down a couple of our our aircraft, and we beat our tails back to the United States. And after that, secret treaties were written with the inhabitants of the Antarctic. Now, again, I know there are people out there that are saying, you know, these guys are on something, or Quayle slipped and fell and never got back up in his brain. But the thing is, I have talked. This was my calling, and I want to faithfully reproduce it. I can't know. L.A. can't know. Tom can't know. We can't know unless the living God brings those who know across our path. And just like L.A. talked about in my book, Xenogenesis, which is astonishing to me, probably the most important thing I've ever written to where we're at now and where we're headed, whether it's, you know, every day on Drudge, it's something about robot sex or artificial intelligence. Do you understand what all this stuff means? If, ladies and gentlemen, if I tell you the end of the human race is at hand, and it doesn't take Planet X, Nibiru, or Gabriel's Fist, Lucifer's Hammer, or any of the names associated with it to take that out. And people are willingly contributing to their demise. And by the way, I came up with a new word. It's geneticide. I put up a story from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and they're talking about a guy who's basically going into his advanced laboratory, and he's beginning to go into his own genome, L.A., and change it, okay? Now, if anybody can't figure this out, everything in Genesis, when God created it, it was good, and after its kind, and God made the barriers and the boundaries after its kind, and then the Lord himself said, and it was good. Everything you see now in modern science, in robotics, AI, transhumanism, CRISPR technology, genetic engineering, mutagenic combinations, xenogenesis. Xenogenesis means adding a third genetic strain to the human genome. Babies being born without two parents. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But I got to tell you something, L.A. Again, it's happening before the eyes. And this is one of Tom Horn's biggest concerns and heartbreaks. People don't get it. But more, I guess you'd say too, Doug, people are not even putting two and two together. And simply, it's irrelevant to them. And all of the snowflakes, which need a snowplow and snow melt, don't get it. They've already been co-opted. So when you bring all this stuff together, and by the way, let's just put it on this too, Fukushima, I don't know, LA, I'm trying to get answers to this and ask around for the people that you know, but it is my contention that the plutonium leaking from Fukushima that has now shown up on the shores of South America's western shoreline from Peru, Chile, all the way up the coast, and in California, the plutonium levels, what I'm trying to say is plutonium-239 has a very, very high, if you will, half-life, what is it, 27, 28,000 years, I'm going just approximations, and it's my contention that amount of radiation is going to have, if you will, a matrix-like effect on a lot of the giants that are in stasis. Because if you notice and think back on all of the, if you will, the early investigations of UFOs, one of the most important things they always had was a Geiger counter. So I don't know. This is just something that I'm postulating, I'm praying about. But to my knowledge, all of the forest fires that are happening in Chile, I think it's 175,000 miles, square miles, and all of the earthquakes are having there, I believe that all of those events, the forest fires, will uncover the ancient civilizations, especially the ruins. You guys who are into Google Earth and are good with it, start watching that area. And I believe, literally, the Earth is getting ready to vomit up the giants. I'm talking alive, not just a bunch of bones. And that's, ladies and gentlemen, what sets L.A. Marzulli and us apart from everybody else. You can argue about the Smithsonian stealing skeletons. We're telling you, we've got eyewitness reports of the actual dead ones, of the actual ability of the giants to heal themselves. And that is, like, if you will, they've got a salamander gene, which, by the way, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, is incorporating all that and all those, if you will, gigantic characteristics, the ability, by the way, for the olfactory senses to literally smell, S-M-E-L-L, the DNA of individuals. Go ahead, L.A.
L.A., you there?
Yeah. Paging L.A.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm here. I had my mute on by accident. I've often postulated that a fallen angel can take one look at a human being and read their DNA. They can know who you are, what your gifts are, what your gifting is, where your weaknesses are. They can scan you somehow, and they can see your DNA. They know who you are. And Steve just kind of, you know, we've never talked about this. They can smell your DNA. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, we are in a window of time, and people need to understand this. The good news is, out of all this, we're in the midst of a cosmic regime change. So why, yeah, all hell's about to break loose, literally, and we're told that in Scripture. I mean, Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders. Read the book of Revelation. I mean, what's coming upon the earth is a time which is unprecedented, unlike any other time. We are now in the birth pangs leading up to the Great Tribulation. I don't believe we're in the Great Tribulation, but we're moving up to it. And you'll notice it's not getting any better. You know, everywhere I go, at every conference, I'll say, how many of you think that we're better off now than we were 17 years ago? Not one hand. Not one hand. And this has been like 2 or 3 years I've been doing this with that question. Not one hand goes up. Not a one. There's no takers. Everybody knows viscerally that we're in a period of time that is very uncertain, unprecedented, unlike any other time before history. I call it, we're in the midst of a cosmic regime change. The forces of heaven, the good guys, Jesus is coming back at some point, and I think it's soon. In the meantime, we know that things are ramping up because it's the time of the fallen cherub. It's the time of Hasatan, time of Satan, time of the Antichrist. And I think we're in the window of time where we're seeing all this stuff. It's being revealed, a little under the table, a little surreptitiously perhaps, but we're getting more and more and more information. And that's why, on one hand, it seems to be troubling. The good news is we are in the midst of a cosmic regime change, which means that Jesus is going to return to this earth sooner than later. And I hope it's sooner.
Amen to that.
Doug, do you want to, you know, you've been very quiet, and you're very, how do I say this, so gracious to allow L.A. and I, but what are your responses? Okay, you're a host, you know, a lot of people listen to you every night all over the world, you know, I mean, we've got millions of listeners, that's not BS, that's real, and as you're sitting here listening, for the first time in history, multiple research streams coming together, painting, I would say there's no way LA and I have ever colluded. That is a fact, okay? And yet tonight, this is a key, and I don't mean that to be a corny term, you know, that unlocks the secret mysteries of the universe, or to quote Carl Sagan, billions and billions of planets. You know, no, that's a poor Carl Sagan, but what are your thoughts?
Thanks for asking me that, and just let me say this. A lot of Christians out there have or are wussified. That's not, I have a stronger term than that, but not our audience, but those people who will take to the blogs, take to the airwaves, take to the message boards and say none of this matters. Let me tell you something. It matters a whole lot because the deception that's coming is exactly built around the architecture which you folks, both you and LA, have described and are describing. So you got to pay attention to this. Christians need to pay attention. This is relevant to today more than it was 15, 20 years ago or 100 years ago. This is the golden nugget, and you both framed this marvelously. And my message to the Christians out there who make it a point to rip down this kind of information or to say it's not important or look away or whatever the case might be, okay, get your head out of your ass and listen. That's the only thing I got to say. And I apologize for cussing, but...
Well, I don't think that's cussing. You know what I find? And LA, I'll let you, chime in too, just really quick. There are so many paid trolls. By the way, it's an interesting statement. There are so many paid trolls. I'm getting a couple of them tonight, okay? I want to just put this on record one more time. When you get a lieutenant colonel from NORTHCOM and a PSYOPS operation head in your office saying, Steve, exact words, we will do everything and anything within our power to discredit you. Okay, people say, I don't believe that. You're just making this up. Oh, yeah, well, he went to school with my daughter. Actually, had a crush on her. And the thing is, her dad and I, or his dad and I, were partners in a couple of things we did out of film school. So when they tell you that, they're not kidding. When the Department of Propaganda comes out from the military and makes propaganda legal, and then they accuse us, guys like you, me, L.A., Tom Horn, you know, and the 197 others of false news or fake news, I would just say unto them, and I'll say unto you, devils, woe unto you who call evil good and good evil. God is saying that, woe. And the last thing you ever want to hear from God is, woe unto you who call evil good and good evil. I also want to say, I will say this, never in my life, you know, here's what's interesting. Let me back up a minute. People will watch horror movies, and Christians do. Not all Christians do, but, and I want to use the word claimants to Christianity. Jesus basically said, depart from me, ye who work lawlessness. I never knew you. The abrogation of Scripture every day. Matthew 18 is irrelevant. If you have aught against your brother, go to him. That's irrelevant now. But yet people will go on diatribes, and they will use no Scripture, and at the end of their entire diatribe is me, 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 I. And here you have us tonight, Doug, and we're just two of the guys. Obviously, Timothy Alberino is in my organization and you know, the writer and the director of the True Legends. And, I mean, the guy is gifted. And I'm trying to twist, Tim, if you're listening, I'm trying to twist his arm for you guys to hear one of the most miraculous supernatural testimonies I've ever heard in my life of God meeting a young man going into the jungles of the Amazon, into the most inhospitable place in the world, for a very young man to go and find God, and the devil appearing to him as if he were God, trying to deceive him. And some of the most, and I don't want to give away Tim's thing, but I'll tell you what, it's amazing. LA just laid it out perfectly. He just told you how it all relates. I've taught people, I believe I've tried, forgive me, I have made the effort to tell people, if you understand the root of evil, then the fruit of evil is so easy to see. Genesis 6 is the root of all evil. When the sons of God saw the daughters of earth were fair and came unto them. One of the things, LA, that most people, even people who are listening to me right now, and I just got into another argument, and I said I wouldn't you know, respond to emails, and I'm praying, pray for me, because I guess if I were to place a book up or even a link, I'd call it the Book of Nasty People. I mean, some of these people are so uncouth, but the deal is they spend more time telling me or you or Tim or Doug or Tom Horn. Tom says I just have a delete button. Okay, well, I have the fist button, and I just break too many of my keypads. I'm just kidding. But the point is that we're challenging everybody tonight, ladies and gentlemen. When you get done listening to us, take this to the Lord Jesus in prayer. If you are a Christian, take this to the Lord Jesus in prayer and ask him if we are telling you the truth. Because this all makes sense if you go to the Word of God, where Jesus said to his disciples, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy, he says, in his name. The reason the name of Jesus is banished, because the devil knows there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus. And what we're trying to tell you is that, look, you may not want to deal with this. You may want to just put your hands in your ears and go la, 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 as somebody accused me of God doing when I pray on the radio, and, you know, and the Lord rebuke him in his blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. The bottom line is that we're talking about tonight well-researched, and again, countless hours, an amazing revelation. If we pray and believe the Lord God of heaven will grant us wisdom in the steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord, and we're all, L.A., you, I, Tom, Dr. Michael Lake, Timothy Alberino, and when I say Tom, Tom Horn, all of us are falling into step. And I see that as interesting because it's kind of like, come from the four winds, O Spirit of God, and breathe upon these bones that they might live in the book of Ezekiel. And what we're trying to tell people is God's got answers. If you're honest and you seek him with all your heart, look, I'm not about to waste 40 years of my life, and I'm 65, so what is that, two-thirds or close to it? And you're not about to do a wild goose chase because God has revealed to you, L.A. Marzulli. He's revealed to Tom Horn. He's revealed to all of those of us that are, I would say, original researchers. We're trying to lay a, if you will, a foundation stone for those that will come after us to teach the people of God who their enemy is and how to fight in that realm. That's probably my last statement. Go ahead and close it out any way you want, L.A.
In L.A., we have about a minute and a half left until the break.
Okay, just real quick. It's been a real honor and pleasure to be, you know, tag teaming like this with Steve. We could probably do another 6 or 7 hours without any problem at all. I hope the audience enjoyed it. I hope your listeners enjoyed it. But I just want to wrap it up by saying this. The reason why I do this, and I was called to this, and I was called to it years ago, and it's a ministry that I never would have volunteered for. But because I grew up in the occult and was immersed in the occult from 16 to 30, it gives me a unique perspective. And now the Lord has me doing this full time. And it's been a number of years, just like Steve. And I got to tell you, folks, keep us in prayer because the attacks are unbelievable at times. And I mean unbelievable, especially if we go out at a conference or something. It's incredible. But I just want to thank Doug and Joe for having us on here. It's just been great. Hope to do it again. Maybe it's a regular feature. Who knows? But thanks for having us on.
Love
it. I really appreciate it.
Well, bless you both. God bless you, Steve. God bless you, L.A. Marzulli.
And
visit
websites,
both websites.
LAMarzulli.net and stevequayle.com, as my dad said earlier. Bookmark those sites and update them or check on them regularly.
I want to thank both of them. Good night, brothers. Thank you.
Good night,
so much.
Doug. Good night, Joe. Good night, everyone.
Good night,
thank
Doug.
You.
Good night, Steve. Take care.
Fantastic first 2 hours.
Wow.
We still have Stan Deo, standeo.com, coming up after this break. Stay with us.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate a maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.